Welcome to this week's episode of FTR's Weekly Trucking Update podcast, hosted by Avery Weiss. Join Avery each week as he dissects everything from market trends to economic indicators to explore how these factors are shaping the trucking landscape. Download the graphics package at ftrintel.com/podcasts. And feel free to use those slides as you defend your transportation thought leadership within your own company. So, buckle up as we embark on a journey through the dynamic and ever-changing world of trucking. And now, here's your host, Avery Weiss.
Welcome to FTR's Weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 255 for the week of March 11th, 2024. Before we start, a reminder, you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at ftrintel.com/podcast. We begin this week with a look at employment in the trucking industry and a couple of other freight-related sectors. Seasonally adjusted payroll employment and for-hire trucking barely changed in February, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics reduced its preliminary estimates of employment levels in December and January. The upshot is that truck transportation shed just 300 jobs month over month in February, but that was after a downward revision of 4,200 jobs during December and January. So on a seasonally adjusted basis, payroll employment in trucking has been fairly stable since, of course, the big drop that occurred in August due to Yellow Corporation's shutdown. The industry has added a net of 8,100 jobs since then, seasonally adjusted. More granular data available only through January indicates that the gains since August have been in LTL and local specialized trucking, each of which have added a net of about 5,000 payroll jobs. Now, in LTL, those gains were primarily in September through November. Preliminary data shows a slight decrease in December that was reversed exactly in January. The growth in local specialized trucking employment was more consistent, with only 1 month being down in October. And by the way, strength in local specialized trucking jobs squares with economic data for the fourth quarter of last year that led to an increase in the 2024 truck loadings forecast for the bulk dump segment in FTR's estimates. Over the same period, basically September through January, general freight truckload jobs are down by 2,600 and long distance specialized jobs are down about 1,000. Local general freight employment had seen some growth during that period, but was down by 3,600 jobs in January. Now, that's quite a large drop in a single month for that sector, but I would caution against overreacting to a single month's data, especially when that month is January, which tends to be a light month for a whole host of economic indicators. So we'll have to watch closely to see if that gets adjusted when we get next month's data. By the way, general freight truckload jobs resumed their downward trajectory in January after holding flat in December, according to the preliminary BLS data. Employment is down just under 9,000 jobs, 8,900 jobs, or 1.6% since May, which is essentially the highest level on record. It's actually down about 200 jobs from October of 2022, but it's for all practical purposes an all-time high. Okay, let's look at some related industries before we move to the weekly data. Couriers and messengers, or less formally, parcel and local delivery, accounted for the lion's share of the month-over-month gains in transportation and warehousing with a 17,300 job jump. However, that big increase followed a downward revision of December and January estimates by a total of 43,200 jobs. So you can see that if you just focus on the month over month, it tells you a very different story than if you look at the overall picture, which includes revisions. Most other transportation and warehousing sectors either shed jobs or saw only minor gains. Warehousing and storage lost 6,800 payroll jobs following a downward revision of December and January of 13,500. Okay, let's move on to the weekly data. We'll start with diesel prices. The national average price of retail on highway diesel declined 1.8 cents to $4.04 of a cent a gallon during the week ended March 11th. In the past 3 weeks, diesel prices have fallen 10.5 cents on average, and that is exactly half of the 21 cent spike that had occurred during the week ended February 12th. Prices were down on average in all regions with one exception, and that is the West Coast, other than California, where prices were up 1.4 cents a gallon on average. Although the national average price is less than a half cent above $4 a gallon, average prices in the latest week were below that benchmark only in three regions: Gulf Coast, Midwest, and the Rocky Mountain region. Now, how can we have such a concentrated area with lower prices and be that close to $4? It's because the Gulf Coast and Midwest are among the largest regions for sales volume, so they have an outsized impact on the national average. The only other region besides those three that I named that are even close to $4 a gallon is the Lower Atlantic, where prices on average are just over $4.03. And the Lower Atlantic is one of the larger regions other than the Gulf Coast and Midwest. Okay, let's talk about the spot market for truck freight during the week ended March 8th, which was week 10 of the year. The total broker posted spot rate in the truck stop system barely moved during the week after declining less than a penny during the previous week. Dry van spot rates resumed their downward trend after a small uptick in the prior week, while refrigerated spot rates increased for the first time since the weather-induced spike in mid-January. Flatbed rates rose by just enough to reverse the small decrease that occurred the week before. Let's look at rates more closely. The total broker posted spot rate ticked up 0.2 cents after slipping 0.7 cents in the previous week. Rates were more than $5 below the same week last year, or 5% below the same week last year, and about 6% below the five-year average for the week. Aside from the weather-related distortions in weeks 3 and 4, total spot rates have not varied by more than 6 cents during all of 2024 so far. Let's look at rates by segment. Dry van spot rates decreased nearly 3 cents after ticking up a half cent during the previous week. Rates, which have declined in 8 of the past 10 weeks, were more than 7% below the same week last year and almost 15% below the 5-year average for the week. Dry van rates were the lowest since the week before the last May's International Road Check inspection event, and they are less than 5 cents higher than they were back in June of 2020, when, of course, the economy was just beginning to emerge from lockdowns. Refrigerated spot rates increased 2.5 cents after declining for 6 straight weeks. Rates were nearly 6% below the same 2023 week and about 12% below the 5-year average for the week. Aside from the previous week, refrigerated rates were the lowest since April of last year and are less than 7% or 7 cents higher than they were in June of 2020. And finally, flatbed spot rates edged up half a cent after easing by the same amount in the previous week. Rates were about 5% below the same week last year and more than 4% below the 5-year average. Although broker posted flatbed spot rates were almost exactly where they were 2 weeks earlier, they technically were the highest since July of last year. Okay, let's look briefly at volume. Total load activity increased 1.6% after rising more than 7% in the prior week. Volume was less than 2% below the same week last year and more than 34% below the 5-year average. Dry van loads eased 0.6%. Volume was 35% below the same week last year and more than 36% below the 5-year average for the week. Refrigerated loads rose just under 4%. Volume was more than 7% below the same 2023 week and nearly 42% below the five-year average for the week. And flatbed loads rose 3%. Volume is basically the same as it was during the same week last year, but more than 35% below the five-year average. One final thing about spot metrics before we move on. It's something that I think a lot of people know, but we probably should acknowledge more often than we do, and that's that the spot market is interesting and quite useful as a tool in analyzing the market, but it is only a portion of the truck freight market. And in fact, it's the total market that FTR focuses on in most of its work. Okay, let's wrap up the weekly data with a look at mortgage rates, which took a breather in the latest week after steady increases recently. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dipped to 6.88%, according to Freddie Mac, which said that sensitivity to rates was on display as mortgage applications rose for the first time in 6 weeks. Okay, we've already talked about employment in trucking and a couple of related industries, but let's talk about the broader labor market, starting with the Bureau of Labor Statistics Employment Situation Report. The economy added 275,000 payroll jobs, seasonally adjusted in February, according to preliminary BLS figures. Payroll job growth is still robust, although BLS did revise its earlier estimates for December and January downward by a total of 167,000 jobs. Year over year, payroll employment in February was up just under 2%. Employment as measured by the BLS Household Survey, as opposed to the Establishment Survey, which looks at payroll employment, has not been as strong, however. That measurement, which surveys individuals rather than businesses, showed a decrease of 184,000 in February and a decline in 4 of the past 5 months. Another indicator that suggested some weakening was the unemployment rate, which rose to 3.9%, which is the highest since January of 2022, from 3.7% in January of this year. Even so, the rate is low by historical standards. The average rate during 2015 through 2019, for example, which was a pretty strong labor market, was 4.4%. The unemployment rate sometimes rises due to growth in labor participation, and while the labor force did rise modestly in February after reductions in January and in December, the labor participation rate held steady at 62.5% for the third straight month. So it really was not labor participation that led to the higher rate. It was really an increase in unemployment. Job growth remains centered in three sectors, especially hit by the pandemic: private education and health services, labor and leisure and hospitality, and government. Together, those sectors accounted for 195,000 added jobs, seasonally adjusted. Another area of strength month over month was trade, transportation, and utilities, which saw an increase of 40,000 jobs. That was led by transportation and warehousing and retail trade. Now, we've already discussed transportation and warehousing, and you know, I'll remind you that little asterisk on the month-over-month growth, because that 17,000-plus job increase that we had in parcel and local delivery was after a much, much sharper drop in the prior months due to a downward revision. Manufacturing was the only sector to lose jobs month over month, shedding 4,000. The declines were broad-based, but one notable area of strength was fabricated metal product manufacturing, which saw an increase of 4,400 jobs. And that's reassuring, because fabricated metal products are used in a lot of other manufacturing, such as automotive. And in fact, as we talked about in last week's episode, the ISM Manufacturing Index, the Institute for Supply Management, had noted that fabricated metals was one of the growth areas during the month of February, and that was reassuring for the broader manufacturing sector going forward. Okay, another data point on the labor market is the number of job openings. Although this data lags payroll employment data by a month, so it's not quite as timely. Unfilled job positions are still running more than 27% higher than they were during the pre-pandemic month of February 2020. Job openings at the end of January were only 0.3% lower than they were a month earlier and totaled nearly 8.9 million seasonally adjusted. However, the decrease followed a downward revision of the preliminary estimates for December by 137,000. Still, as we noted, this is still quite a bit more job openings than we had before the pandemic. Okay, just a couple of other topics to discuss this week, aside from the labor market. We'll start with the wholesale sector. Inventories and sales for merchant wholesalers declined in January, but sales fell to a greater extent. Sales fell 1.7% seasonally adjusted, while inventories were down just 0.3%. The preliminary January data yields a inventories to sales ratio of 1.36. That's up from 1.34 in December. The largest increase was lumber, which saw a 7.5% drop in sales, but a 1.3% increase in inventories. At the other end of the spectrum, the largest decrease in the ratio was in apparel, where sales rose by 3%, but inventories fell by 3%. Finally, this week, let's talk about U.S. trade in goods. Adjusted for inflation, imports of goods rose 1% month over month, seasonally adjusted, in January, while real exports of goods eased 0.2%. Both imports and exports were down year over year, but exports were down 1%, while imports were down just 0.2%. Although real exports eased overall, there were a few pockets of strength. Exports of automotive vehicles and components rose just over 10% month over month, and consumer goods exports were up 4.7%. However, industrial supplies represent a much larger share of exports, and they were down about 4%. Automotive also represented the greatest month over month strength in real imports at a 4.4% increase. Capital goods, which is the largest category of imports in dollar value, increased 3.8%. On a year-over-year basis, both exports and imports of consumer goods saw the largest decrease of all the major sectors tracked by the Census Bureau. Imports were down 7.9% year-over-year, while exports were down 7.6%. Automotive recorded the greatest year-over-year improvement in imports at 5.7% growth. Aside from the other goods category, foods, feeds, and beverages represented the greatest strength in exports at a 1.5% increase. Okay, let's recap some key takeaways for the week. Trucking jobs barely moved in February after a downward revision of prior month's estimates. Diesel prices fell for the third straight week. Total spot rates held basically steady in the latest week. Mortgage rates eased slightly. The U.S. added 275,000 payroll jobs in February, but prior months saw sizable downward revisions. The unemployment rate rose to its highest level in almost 2 years. Job openings changed little during January. Wholesale inventories were less lean in January, and real goods exports declined while imports were higher in January. In next week's podcast, we will discuss a host of key economic indicators, including industrial production and manufacturing output, retail sales, inventories, and inflation at both the consumer and producer level. Plus, we'll look at seasonally adjusted revenues for the trucking industry during the fourth quarter of last year and recap the week in diesel prices and the spot market for truck freight as usual. That's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update. episode 255 for the week of March 11th, 2024. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Trucking Update podcast with Avery Weiss. Be sure to check out FTR's additional complimentary market coverage at ftrintel.com/state-of-freight-today.